in the house of the Lord. I suppose all of us sound just a bit croaky, but that's all right. Amen. Tremendous camp meeting. Amen. And so thankful that we had the crowd that we did. I think everybody was ready for fellowship. Everybody was ready to join together in praise and in worship to the Lord. Enough of this being isolated, being quarantined, being, you know, just all of the garbage that went on with the problems that we experienced. Thank God. I believe the church is going to surge ahead powerfully. Thank the Lord. And we're going to see great things from God. But standing in faith is what we're going to have to continue to do. No doubt about that. Standing. Praise God. You can see a lot farther when you're standing. Now, somebody a bit taller than me would see a little bit farther, but I definitely can see farther when I'm standing. So we want to be able to see what the Lord has available for us, what he has in store for us, the direction that he wants us to go. And thank God there are times and standing is stationary. And that's important, too, and not to be able to be moved backwards, but to stand on the promises of the Lord. Look how the focus points out, even when things are not going right, even when we don't have what we would call favorable situations, we still stand. We still make sure we're holding on to the things of God, and we're not going to back up, not going to back down. Amen. This is a very familiar story. Those three young men who, as the song says, wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, but thank God they wouldn't burn either. Amen. They held on. Praise God. So, again, a familiar story, and I'm sure in Sunday school, all of our little ones heard it time and again, but praise God. They determined that they're serving the Lord. They're not going to serve other gods. They're not going to worship other gods. They're going to hold on to the one true God and know that that would be the strength that they would receive in the blessing of the Lord. Your cultural connection makes reference to a statue of Peter in St. Peter's Basilica. And I can't help but think of what Peter said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 when he made his way to Caesarea and he encountered Cornelius in his household, and Cornelius fell at his feet. Peter said, no, stand up. I'm a man like you. They should put that scripture, Acts 10, 25 and 26, at Peter's Basilica instead of kissing his toes and all of that. They actually do that, I guess. My word. I remember, I think it was Brother Cole telling us about the reclining Buddha in Thailand. And same thing. Covered in gold, my goodness, and that gold being tarnished because of all of the touching and kissing and so on. I'm thankful that we worship the one true God. Amen. And obedience is what he desires and what he wants us to stand for. Praise God. And I like the way the writer of this lesson said, the three men would not bow to the image that the king had put up. And they used the word picture. They stood out like a Pepsi can in a Coca-Cola display. Maybe you've got a comparison there. Maybe you've got an idea of how they stood out. They stood out like what? Give me your ideas. An apostolic woman on a fishing dock. Yeah, I guess so. That That would stand out because of the way you're dressed. And no compromise there. Anybody else got a comparison, an example? They stood out like what? A what? Oh, my word. That would be obvious. You know, the old fella that just kept hollering, "Amen, praise God." And finally the usher came and said, "No, we don't do that in this church. You need to be quiet." The preacher kept on, and of course, quoting scripture and or sharing scripture, and the old man would get excited again. Praise God. The usher finally came and said, "Come with me." And took him to a little storage room and sat him down in there. He could still hear, but they couldn't hear him for a while. And then there was a ruckus in that room. The ushers, "Now what?" He went to open the door. Here's the old man worshiping and carrying on. He said, "Now, what are you doing?" He had the encyclopedia open. And he said, "Look at this. It says the ocean is this deep." I don't remember the figure. "The ocean is this deep. And the Bible says he cast my sins into the sea." He was worshiping. How far gone his sins were. Praise God. All right, so we better get into the lesson and not worry about how they stood out. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream, but he demanded the interpretation. He got his Chaldeans, which apparently is a class or a category of wise men, people who were used to reading omens and dreams and visions and so on. Got his magicians, he got his counselors, he got them all together. He said, "I had this dream, very disturbing dream. Tell me what it means." "Well, tell us the dream." "No, you tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation." Nobody can do that. There's no man that can. But Daniel said, "Give us time to pray." Thank the Lord, we can always go to prayer. We can always call on the Lord. We can always look to him to open up what needs to be provided for. Now, they had the sentence of death upon them. I mean, they were coming to gather Daniel and everybody else for execution when he made that plea, "Give me time." And sure enough, the Lord revealed the secret, and that's what he said. In Daniel 2:28, there is a God in heaven. We're not talking about man on earth. There's a God in heaven that knows how to reveal secrets. And sure enough, the Lord revealed it. And world history, and you remember your class in high school of world history, it bears out how that there was the Babylonian Empire, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and so on down the list. It's exactly the way that Daniel interpreted the dream. And then Daniel was exalted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put over the affairs of those are their Babylonian names, by the way, not their Hebrew names. That's how they're mostly known, however. They didn't lose their Hebrew identity. They didn't lose their belief in one God. They just had their names changed and their category of responsibility. They were put over the affairs of the province. So the king elevated them, but he also elevated himself. And maybe he got the idea of this golden image from the interpretation that Daniel gave him. "You're the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar." "Oh, so I'll make a gold image." Can you imagine? We stopped at Tom Cooper's. This is not a commercial. This is just information. We stopped and we looked at his replica of a gold nugget. And then he pulled out a real gold nugget and let Pastor Greg handle that. I wondered if Pastor Greg slipped it in his pocket, but no, he gave it back. But can you imagine a 90-foot tall image? This church is 70 feet long, 20 feet longer, covered in gold. is this image. How about getting some of that for a building program? Ah, that would be awesome. It would really be a North Pole. We wouldn't make a pole. We'd make a building, praise God. It would be something good come out of that. Amen. You're the head of gold. And so he thought, I'll put this gold image up. Well, it didn't have the outcome that he thought. Now, I don't know who gave him the idea of this orchestra playing, kind of odd names for the instruments. How would you like to play a sackbut? What is that anyway? A trombone? I do not receive that. I played a trombone in high school, and we sure didn't feel like it was a sackbut. Well, anyway, all of this racket, maybe it sounded good. I don't know. If it was led by Brother Bartlett, it would sound good. And maybe it was just a bunch of racket to recognize time to bow, time to worship, and so on. And here's these three young men. Daniel's not named, so it's possible that he was on a diplomatic mission for the king somewhere. Who knows? But these three young men stood straight and tall. You know, we go back to the beginning of Daniel, and they arrive. And think about this now. This is not just going to university like some of our young people have done and step into a whole different culture at the university and all of the crazy things. Brother Abbott went to college in the 60s, and I guarantee you there are some really crazy things going on at the universities and back in those days, and it's even way worse now. These young men were not just going to a university campus, free from the constraints of parents and all of that kind of stuff. These young men stepped into a whole different culture, a whole different civilization. But Daniel purposed in his heart. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes to stand. So he was used to standing. The three young men who were his companions were used to standing. We're not going to eat meat that's been offered to idols. We're just going to drink vegetable juice, a monster thrown in every now and then. And they made it. They made it. But now they've got to take a stand again because everybody else is bowing down. Everybody else is falling on their face. All the officials and all the instruments combined together. You know, it kind of reminds me of, I'm getting reminded of all kinds of things and times racing by. Jehoshaphat with Ahab saying, isn't there a man of God somewhere that we can hear from? And Ahab had all of these other guys come forth, you know. And, there's one more, Micaiah, but I don't like him. He never prophesies anything good concerning me. That should have been a signal right there. You're off base, Ahab. But no, they went and got Micaiah out of the dungeon. They brought him forth. And while he was coming, he was instructed. Now, all the rest of us have said, go ahead and go into battle. Everything's going to be good. You better agree with us. You better go along. And then while he was coming from the dungeon to the palace, the other prophets threw a little bit of Hollywood in there and got some horns, and he was prancing around with the horns saying, you're going to defeat the enemy with these, you know, and so on. They brought Micaiah in. He said, yeah, go ahead, go to battle. And Ahab said, didn't I tell you to always say what the Lord told you to say? And anyway, the outcome of it was Micaiah said what the Lord said and didn't go along with everybody else. These young men did not go along with everybody else. They took their stand, and thank God, they were, in spite of the warning, anybody who doesn't bow down is going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Okay, so they already knew the consequences. They already knew what was going to happen if they didn't follow through with the bowing down. But they went ahead with their determination and with their stand. I told Aaron and Kendra, you know, we're standing in this marriage ceremony. You ever been at a wedding where you didn't stand? Well, the audience sits down, even though I forgot to tell you to sit down. You still sit down. But the wedding party stands, right? They all stand. Maybe they kneel for prayer, but for the most part, it's standing. And I said, you'll have to stand for your marriage. You'll have to stand for your vows. And you'll have to take a stand, because this society that we're in now is saying, you don't have to stand for that. You don't have to be faithful to your vows. You don't have to, you know, stay with your family. You can, you know, do all kinds of different things that are away from what the scripture says. But you have to take a stand. Here we are on the 4th of July. We celebrate our country's independence. We think about the Declaration of Independence and the names that are on there. Those men took a stand. John Hancock wrote it big so that King George would not have to use his spectacles to read his name. And that's where we get the saying, put your John Hancock on this document, you know, and so on. That, go ahead and write. Well, they took a stand, and they of course, recognize there's consequences. And in spite of the threat, they followed through. Now, the king's ego was quite large. Again, we said maybe his choice to make this gold image is because Daniel said, you're that head of gold. And so then when the image is up and the instruments sound and all the officials bow, here are these three young men. Well, there were people who went running to the king and said, oh, these three young men are not regarding your gods. They're not obeying you. They're not following through. There's always going to be somebody who's jabbering about you, trying to tear down your testimony, trying to ridicule and make fun, you know. That. Don't worry about that. You just keep on serving God. You just keep on walking with the Lord. You just keep staying true. Praise God. And thank the Lord. These young men said, the God whom we serve. They were not going to back up. They were not going to try to compromise and get on the good side of the king and, you know, go with his ego a little bit as well. The God whom we serve. That reminded me of Paul being on the ship, and they're in that storm for 2 weeks, and things are not looking good. But he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. No identity crisis there. No trying to figure out, you know, what side his bread was buttered on, or how, whatever phrase you want to use for the favor. Even if it wasn't favorable, he's going to hold on, praise God, and determine that he's going to follow after the Lord. Praise God. So, we stand. That flag, the meaning is changing in our society. And when we sing the national anthem, there are some who choose not to stand. That's not a big spiritual deal there, I guess, in most ways. Some ways it is. But standing for God is a whole nother category, a whole nother level of importance. I'm going to stand for the Lord. Praise God. Regardless of temper tantrums that the king throws, his rules, his ideas, and so on, we're going to stand. Praise God. And the disciple, or not the disciples, these three young men added a but if not clause to their commitment. Our God's able to deliver us. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to, you know, compromise. Go on. Well, I suppose that's kind of a moot point, because if they refused, they were going to be thrown into the furnace and becoming crisp. Yeah. And well, didn't matter to them. We're still not going to bow down. Now remember, the furnace was tended by some people who made it seven times hotter. I don't know how they determined that. Remember, Brother Rick, or maybe I'll ask, did you guys see, when you were in Africa, did you see those brick kilns on the side of the road? And they were fashioning bricks out of the mud. They had that form. Not bricks like we use now. The bricks they have were probably twice the size, you know, 16 inches by 4 by 6 or 8 or something like that. They had that form. Pretty slick the way they do it. And they have another, you know, that like say this is the form, only it's bigger, and they stuff it full of the mud and so on. And then they have something that they slide it off the top, you know, slide the excess off, and then they turn it over, and then they stack them up. And they, so they had brick kilns, big fire, you know, ovens. I wonder if that's what this fiery furnace was all about. Otherwise, what would they have it for? I don't know. But they heated it seven times hotter, and they got mighty men. That's what the scripture says, mighty men. We're familiar with that phrase with David, David's mighty men. But Nebuchadnezzar had mighty men as well, and grabbed a hold of those three guys and bound them. Well, first they made them get dressed like they were going out for winter. That kind of amuses me. Why'd they have to put their coats on and their socks and everything and get all bundled up like they're going out in cold temperatures to get thrown into the fiery furnace? But that's what they did. Then they bound them, tied them up, and those mighty men took them to the furnace, cast them in. But those mighty men did not walk away. It was so hot that those men, inhaling that air that was so hot, damaged their lungs. They didn't have respirators. Pastor Greg went through firefighting school in Denver and experience with the respirator, experience with fighting those fires. And these guys, though they were mighty men, dropped dead. That's how hot it was. And it was not a good situation, really, when that happened. But remember now, the Lord said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's not just a declaration of God being so much greater than us. Of course, that's true. There's no way we can ascend, you know, to that level. But I think also what the Lord is trying to say is, I can devise means of rescue that you cannot even imagine. I can bring forth deliverance in ways that you wouldn't even dream. That's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Praise God. The fires died down a little bit. The king wanted to see what happened. Kind of a morbid thing. But he wanted to see. So he goes over and he looks into that kiln or that pit or the, you know, the fiery furnace. And he is astonished. He can't believe his eyes. He's amazed. He calls his advisors over and said, didn't we throw three men bound into the furnace? I see four loose and walking. Praise God. Don't think you're alone when you're going through the trial. Don't think you're all by yourself when you face something that it just feels like it's going to burn you up. Thank God we know the power of the Lord to be there, the strength of the Lord to be there. Praise God. Stand for your faith. Take that stand. Hallelujah. Now back up just a little bit and remember what they said. We be not careful to answer thee. Now, they weren't being smart, Alex. They weren't being flippant. They weren't, you know, answering him in a harsh and hard manner. They just said, we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to discuss it. We don't need to debate it. We've already got our decision. You know, a few years ago, there was the anti-drug campaign with the slogan, just say no. You know, in other words, have your answer ready to go. Just say no. No, I'm not going to involve myself in that activity. No, I'm not going to take those drugs. No, I'm not going to go that way. Just say no. Well, these three young men already had their minds made up. They already had the decision. They already knew what they were going to answer. We be not careful to answer thee. And other translations, you could look it up. I did this morning. Look it up and say, we don't need to answer. We don't need to defend it. This is the way it's going to be. We're just going to stand. Praise God. And then the king being astonished. Romans 8:28 popped into my mind when I read that as well. Let's say it together. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. Thank the Lord that that's the way it works. That's the way the Lord is going to make it come out. And that's how it turned out for these three young men. And I'm sure we could take testimonies here today that there would be numerous times that you stood on Romans 8:28 and the Lord showed up and showed off. Praise God. And demonstrated again his power for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Now, there for you to trust in God in these circumstances, you've got to have a continuous relationship with him. Not spotty, not haphazard, not on again, off again, but a continuous walk with the Lord. That's what the Lord wants with you. Think about that. The one who spoke everything into existence. I mean, he just said it, and there it is. Praise God. Amazing. He's the one who wants to walk with you. He's the one who wants to spend time with you. He's the one that listens to your prayers. Amen. He wants that continuous relationship. Unfortunately, due to our humanity and our fickleness, sometimes we treat the Lord like a fire extinguisher. And boy, these guys needed a fire extinguisher, didn't they? But they had a relationship with God for a long time. And now here they are, trusting the Lord. King, our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to worship those gods. We're still not going along with what everybody else says. Praise God. We're going to take a stand. I thought about that word stand, so I put it in the computer. And I found a couple of, there's a whole bunch of them. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I just want to mention Isaiah 46 and 10. Now, you've heard me say Isaiah 46 and 10 many, many times. He knows the end from the beginning. And that's usually the part that I quote. I like that. He knows the end from the beginning. But it goes on. And it reads, my counsel shall stand. Put that up for us, Brother Aaron, if you would, please. Isaiah 46 and 10. Because there's a stand that the Lord is going to make for you. There's a stand that he's going to bring about to provide for you. Yes, he knows the end from the beginning. That's why we've got to pray about all kinds of situations. That's why we've got to seek God about all kinds of purposes and determinations that we have in our lives. He knows the end from the beginning. Praise God. But his counsel, what he advises you, how he guides you, if you follow it through, you're going to stand. Because his counsel is going to stand. Praise God. And before that, maybe put this one up too, brother. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The flowers are going to fade. Sorry. We're in the middle of summer here. And the flowers have just bloomed. And what are we doing talking about them fading? But that's what the scripture says. The grass is going to wither. But the word of God is going to stand forever. Amen. That's where we put our trust. Hallelujah. That's where we want to be. The Word of God. The Declaration of Independence, amazing document. Incredible. Done just, about 70 years after England started a parliament and prime minister. We looked that up last night. When did they start parliament? In the early 1700s. So they weren't even out of a monarchy, you know, a total monarchy. They weren't even out of that for very long before the colonies declared independence. And so that was, you know, an amazing thing. And that document is incredible. But there's a document in the Word of the Lord that we're going to stand for. Praise God. And that is going to stand. And we're going to be able to hold on. Now, consider the outcome here, the king being astonished. And then he made declarations again about how great God is. And a tragedy turned into a triumph, and the testimony was amazing. Amazing. Praise God. I thank the Lord that the power of God is there. Brother Jeff, you got something to share? Oh, okay. I'm doing the teacher thing, you know. He's sitting over here laughing and smiling, so I got something else. Now, I thought of other things about standing. Let's take a few of them here, and then I'm going to ask you to think of other things about standing, because there are lots of verses. Prayer. The Lord said in Ezekiel 22 and 30, is it 22 and 30? Can't read my own writing. I looked for an intercessor. I looked for someone to stand in the gap. There was none. See, Brother Lamas, your emphasis on prayer is important. It's necessary. It needs to be, because the Lord does not want to see an absence of those who stand in the gap. So keep teaching it. Keep emphasizing it. Keep pushing it. Praise God. Because we have to take a stand. Praise God. And you know what's amazing? And we don't have time to go into testimonies and so on or stories about that. What's amazing is oftentimes the fruit of those prayers, the answer of those prayers, don't come until after that prayer warrior is gone. But sure enough, here comes the answer. That loved one coming down the aisle, coming to an altar, getting refreshed and renewed in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, yes. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Ephesians 6, the spiritual warfare, the emphasis on stand in verses 11 through 14. Stand. Having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. Praise God. And, you know, that's the necessity. And I mentioned seeing a little bit farther when you're standing. Jeremiah 6:16, stand ye in the ways and see. Seek the old paths. Walk therein. Amen. And oh my, the blessing that the Lord would provide is going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. Okay, what other verses have you thought of that have this idea of taking a stand? Stand in your faith. You got any? Page, concordance, S. Brother Steve. Job was up against some horrible things, some losses that were staggering. Any one of the losses would have been staggering, but he lost everything. Then he lost his health. You know, losing those children, that's horrible. But he worshiped. He may have wavered, he may have staggered, he may have stumbled, but he worshiped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil was not going to take his worship away. Amen. Thomas. Mm-hmm. They suffered loss. They suffered hardship. They were ostracized from society. But they didn't waver. No wonder they're nameless, but they're included in that Hebrews 11. Somebody else? Okay, Brother Lamas. Amen. You're all right. And not moved. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Now, what we're talking about here is the stability of a tree, not a tombstone. You know, tombstone's not going to move either, but a tree is going to grow. And Psalm 1 and 3 comes to mind. A tree planted by the river, fruit, not wither, prosper. Woo! That sounds good to me. Hallelujah. Stand. Thank God. Power there, yes. Oh, okay, you were worshiping. All right, I thought you had your hand up. Brother Wayne's worshiping too, praise God. Oh, he's got one. Huh.
By standing alone, being taken the elements of life, it becomes a mass of the ship that can take the heavy blows of life.
Okay. That's amazing. That would work. Amen. Being able to stand. Brother Levi. Good. Right. And then I heard a missionary pronounce it Haman. And I thought, kind of goes with Hamas, I guess. So, you know, the bad guys.
Yeah.
But Mordecai ended up being the one celebrated rather than the one being executed. Amen. Sister Glover. Something like that.
Yes.
Christ hath
made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Don't go back to the garbage and junk that the Lord delivered you from.
Yes.
Stand. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. We're celebrating liberty.
Yes.
Thank God for the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, Sister Abbott.
Mm-hmm. Stand in the gap
Right.
Before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Hmm. Oh my. That you know, our prayer, we talk about prayer life. That's not just a phrase. Your spiritual life is depending on prayer. Amen. And thank God we can follow through on that, because there is a judgment. You know, we want to keep that in mind. There is going to be a judgment. And there's an inverse relationship. I like to use big words like that, Brother Rick, from university days. There's an inverse relationship. The more fire in the church, the less that are going to experience the fire of hell. The less fire in church, the more people are going to go to the fires of hell. God, help us to recognize we're not playing games here. We really have to stand for our faith. Amen. Other stand, Brother Bartlett.
For those that are not able to stand or not currently standing, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand.
Amen.
Amen. Hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him.
Amen. Now, we know the Lord puts before the church, before his people, an open door. Paul rejoiced in that a couple of times. There are many adversaries. He acknowledged that. He wasn't just dreaming and going along here like, you know, everything's hunky-dory, whatever that means. He knew there was a battle, but he knew the Lord opened the door. There are times that the Lord waits for us to open the door, that you've got to open the door. And then his promise, I will come in. Praise God. And the sup with him and he with me. Why the double reference? Why the, you know, I'll sup with him. That sounds pretty good. Like, you know, David's declaring, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But the Lord says, he with me. There's got to be that both. Praise God. That determination, oh yes, the Lord will come to me, but I've got to go to him as well. I think was what that verse means. Praise God. But he's standing there. He's knocking. God help us. Amen. Sister Nichols.
1 Corinthians 16 and 13 in the New King James says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. King James, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong.
All right. Okay, the emphasis on standing. You know, that's kind of an interesting phrase there, stand fast. Fast, we usually think of moving. How can you stand fast? Well, that's the classic language of King James. It says, hold on, stay with it. Don't, you know, be moved out of the way. Hold on to what the Lord has in store for you and the blessing that he wants. Now, any other before I close here? You got one, Pastor Greg? Say again, I'm sorry.
2 Timothy 4.
All right, go ahead.
At my first answer or defense, no man stood with me. No man forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Ah. I like that. I like that. Hallelujah. Kind of like those three guys standing by themselves or standing together, but nobody else stood with them. But the Lord stood with them. Praise God. And that's what we have to look forward to. Now, let me close with this point. It happened that it could have been a tragedy. It could have been a disaster, but the Lord had higher plans. His ways. Praise God. And it turned out that that fickle temper tantrum, egotistical king announced again, no God like the God of these men. There are people watching you. They're watching you. How you stand through the test, how you go through the trial, how you face the fiery furnace, whatever it might be, a sickness, a debt, a loss, an accident, whatever it might be. Give God the glory through your stand. Amen. And let the Lord bring you through, just like he has so many times. Because I can look across this congregation and remember time after time after time that God brought you through. God was there by your side. God was lifting you up. Oh, let's give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen.